Hey friends, it's Sammy. Before I get into the episode today, I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about the podcast. So I started this podcast in February of last year, so it's been about a year and a half-ish, and I've put out an episode just about every week. Obviously, I've missed a couple, but you know, pretty much every week for the last year and a half. And as you may have noticed, it's been about 6 weeks now since I dropped the last episode. I wanted to address that with you guys and talk to you a little bit about the future of Read 'Em and Weep. So I'm going to be an open book here, and maybe a little too open, I don't know, but here goes. About a month ago, our dog died. Unexpectedly and frankly in a really horrible and kind of traumatic way. And it's been really hard on the whole family. Especially my wife, who's there when it happened. And so I've definitely put some things on the back burner, including this podcast, and just tried to be kind of more present for my family, you know, in a time of need. The other part of this is that I've been struggling a little bit, I think, with my mental health. And, you know, not in like a severe or acute way or anything like that, but, you know, for the last few months, I felt a little more withdrawn and I haven't been reaching out to my friends as much. And I've really been struggling with motivation, and I haven't been experiencing as much joy in certain things as I used to. So like when I was younger, I played competitive hardball up to like the semi-pro level into my late 20s. And then in my 30s, I got into competitive men's softball. And so in my life, there's always been two distinct places that like the moment I'm there, I just feel happy and joyful and excited and grateful and at home. And that's one, anytime I step onto a baseball diamond. And number two, anytime I sit down at a poker table. And for the last few months, I really haven't felt that way playing poker. You know, I'm not having a bad time per se, but that kind of joyful exuberance has definitely felt muted. And I feel like that's affected both the quality of my play, but also the quality of this podcast and frankly, my motivation to do it. And for a while, I thought it was just burnout from like grinding my dick off at live poker for the last 5 years. But the more I've kind of gotten in touch with myself about this, the more I think it's not a poker issue. I think it's a me issue. And it's something that I need to address and work on and handle. And so that's what I'm going to do. But until that point where I'm back where I need to be, I don't think I'm going to put out episodes. In fact, I probably won't play a lot of cards. You know, the reality is if you're not all the way there mentally, you shouldn't gamble for big sums of money. It's a terrible idea. You know, I can tell you from personal experience, I have not done nearly as well this year at poker as I usually do. And, you know, part of that is running bad. Like, you know, I have definitely run pretty far under expectation in the biggest pots I've played this year. But if I'm going to be honest with myself, I also haven't played my A game a lot this year. And that is not a recipe for success. So I'm going to shut it down for a little bit and work on myself and aim to come back stronger than ever. And I want to be really clear. This is just going to be a break for Read 'Em and Weep. I'm not quitting the podcast. So if you like the pod, like you don't have to delete it from your queue, just know that it may be a minute before I start dropping episodes again. And just as a little teaser, I've been playing around with some new ideas for the podcast when I do start it back up. You know, nothing set in stone yet, but definitely something to look forward to. Anyways, thank you guys for hearing me out. I appreciate you, and I hope you like the episode I have today, and I'll have more for you guys hopefully in the near future. Peace. Hello, friends. Welcome to Read 'Em and Weep. It's me, your host, Sammy, and today's episode is all about a session that I recently played that was one of the most frustrating sessions I've ever experienced. And I decided, you know what, like this session sucked hairy taint, but I'm going to make it into a podcast. I'm going to use it for something positive. And you know, you guys all play poker. You know how frustrating of a game poker can be. Bad, crazy shit just happens all the time. It happens in live poker. It happens online. And everybody has to deal with it. So I don't make this podcast to like vent and be like, oh, woe is me. Like, look at how unlucky I am, yada, yada. Because like I said, the reality is that this happens to everybody. But, you know, surely there's a little bit of catharsis just talking about it and getting it out. And that always helps me to move past things. But then it's also one of those things where you guys, the listener, I'm sure this shit happens to you guys. And it's just kind of a way to let you know, like, you're not alone. Like, this stuff happens to everybody. And, you know, frustration, exasperation is, it's a very normal and like human emotion. And especially at the poker table where you're like playing for a bunch of money and there's all sorts of dynamics, some of which don't even have anything to do with you, that can fuck with your program, that can prevent you from winning big pots or like change the course of a night. And it's not so much that this happens to some people more than others, but it's really the way that you're able to respond to this frustration that matters. And like I said, it's a natural emotion to feel. So it's not like you should just like pretend things didn't happen and just go on, because, you know, it's just like anything, you're just internalizing it, but it's still affecting you, even though you might think it's not. So I'm here to tell you it's okay to feel that way when bad stuff happens to you at the poker table. And it's really how you respond to it that matters. Some people are able to process it and just move on, and they have that thing in them. For other people, it's a lot harder. And I guess my one piece of advice here would be to know thyself and be okay with like stepping away from the table, like go for a walk, go for a smoke, like go to your car and hang out for 10 or 15 minutes, listen to a podcast you like or something, just to like switch your energy up, to like give yourself a break. Or if you're somebody who literally can't get past it and you can feel yourself playing worse and you're just like tilting your face off, dude, just bounce. You know, live to fight another day. Go home. It's okay. But I think the worst thing you can do is sit there at the table and stew and end up playing worse and end up donking off a lot more chips than you otherwise would have, right? That's the nut low outcome. So like I said, all three hands from today's podcast are from the exact same session. And we're just going to hang out. We're going to have a good time. We're going to tilt together and we're going to talk some poker. Let's get into the hands. All right, hand one. All these hands are from the California Grand Casino, 235, 1K cap. I'm in middle position with pocket nines, and I open to 20 bucks. Then there's this fish, like this complete recreational, like loose, passive, mega passive, like wet noodle motherfucker. He's in the small blind. He had been whittled down to 80 bucks. And right before this hand was dealt, he topped off another 100. Big spender. So he's up to 180. He's got 80 in chips in front of him, and he still has his $100 bill that he's waiting to get chips for. So he flat calls my $20 open from the small blind. Then it gets this maniac in the big blind, and I'm very deep with the maniac. We both have like 1.4K in front of us, something like that. And he three bets now to 80. And I'm like, yeah, this is great because I can flat the 80 with my pocket nines. And then I get to play a pot in position super deep with somebody who loves to put in money with shitty ass hands. This is the nuts. So, of course, I call the 80 with my pocket nines, and it gets back to the small blind. And the small blind now jams all in for his 180. Well, not exactly what we wanted to see. This is going to be a much bigger pot than I plan to play. But obviously, this is just like 100 bucks more. So I'm going to call it. But before I can, the maniac in the big blind now puts in another raise to 500 bucks. So he has five bet up to 500 bucks. And obviously now my pocket nines can't continue. So I fold. So now these two guys, the maniac and the limp noodle short stacking recreational, get it all in. And of course, a nine comes on the flop. It comes jack, nine, deuce, 8-10. So I would have flopped a set. These guys show down their hands. The small blind has ace king offsuit, and the maniac has ace 10 offsuit. And the maniac actually rivered a 10 and wins this pot off the small blind fish. Now, this hand sucked because I would have won a nice sizable pot if either of these guys had played their hand any sort of normal. So I open a 20 bucks. This short stacking fish, who's topped up to 180, he's got ace king offsuit in the small blind. Dude, you just three bet. You just rip it. Like, do whatever. Instead, he flats. Then the big blind, who obviously he's a maniac, so he's going to do maniac things. But he doesn't need to three bet there. Like, he can just call. But he doesn't. He does three bet. And it gets back to me. And of course, I call with my pocket nines. Now it gets back to the small blind, who now decides to jam all in. And because he's topped up to 180, and the three bet was to 80, it reopens the action. If this guy hadn't topped off, it wouldn't reopen the action. But now this guy jams,
but he's got just enough to reopen the action when he jams all in for his $180. And now the maniac in the big blind decides to 5-bet ISO with ace-10 offsuit to $500 to an amount like I can never call with pocket nines. And he ends up getting it all in and winning this pot off the fish by rivering a 10. Unfucking believable. Like, there were just so few ways that I don't see a flop here. And these two jamooks found a way to play their hands in such a manner where I didn't get to. So that sucks. Obviously, it wouldn't have been the most massive pot because the flop was Jack 9 deuce. I would have flopped middle set, but one guy had ace king, the other guy had ace 10. So it's not like I was going to like win $1,400 off the big blind maniac or anything like that. But it's still the difference between winning several hundred dollars and losing $80. You know, it's a pretty significant swing overall. So that hand sucked. Screw these guys for playing their hand like jamooks. Okay, that's hand one. Let's get on to hand two. All right, hand two. There is a limper for five in early position, and I'm in middle position with 8-6 of hearts. Now, you loyal listeners know that I've never met a suited one gapper that I didn't want to play. So, of course, I raise to 25 and we end up going to a six-way flop when the cutoff calls, the button calls, both blinds call, and of course, the limper calls. We go six ways to a very good flop for me, 9-7-4 with one heart. And I have 8-6 of hearts, so I flop open-ended and a backdoor flush draw. This is hot. So with about 150 in the pot, the small blind leads out for $25. He leads out 1/6 of the pot. The big blind calls, and then it gets to me, and I have a choice between calling and raising here. Certainly a raise would be in order because I can represent overpairs because I was the preflop raiser. And also when the small blind leads for 1/6 pot, in my experience, usually this is not a very strong hand. It's a more like, let me see where I'm at type of hand with, you know, pocket eights on 9-7-4 or, you know, 9-10 suited or something like that. And obviously when the big blind flats, usually he doesn't have a very strong hand either. If he has like a set or two pair or something big, usually he wants to raise here. He doesn't just want to give everybody the opportunity to call on a somewhat connected board, right? 9-7-4, there are a decent amount of straight draws available. I happen to have one of them. That said, there are still two players to act behind me, either of which could have a big hand. And when you're in a six-way pot, you know, you just kind of want to do less bluffing than you otherwise would. In a heads-up pot, like, I'm probably going to war with this hand. But six ways, I think the best route is just calling and seeing what happens. I'm getting a very, very good price, right? There's 200 in the pot. It only cost me 25 to call, so I'm getting like 8-1. So I end up taking the more conservative route and calling the 25. The cutoff folds and it gets to the button. And now the button, who has 1K in his stack, pretty much even 1K. He's like pretty new to the table. I've never played with him before. He really hasn't played many hands up to this point. He now puts in a big raise to $200. And I'm already thinking, okay, I think I have to peel the 200, especially if somebody else calls. But I never get the opportunity to do so because the small blind who had let out for $25 now re-raises to 525. The big blind who'd flatted the 25, he folds, it gets to me. And obviously I just don't think I can continue here. Like certainly I can get it all in with the two other players. I have an open-ended straight draw and a backdoor flush draw, but you know, I feel like this call is probably either break even or worse against two ranges that want to get all in. And doing the math later, I did run it through with some assumptions about these guys' ranges. And indeed, it would be minus EV to get all the chips in here, even though I love my hand. So painfully, painfully, I fold my open end straight draw and backdoor flush draw. The button now jams back over the top of the small blind and the small blind quickly calls. The small blind has pocket sevens for middle set on 9-7-4. And the big blind has black pocket aces. The turn, of course, comes the 10 of hearts, which would have made me the straight. The river is an offsuit deuce, so I would have won the hand. but instead the small blind with his set of sevens takes all the chips. He doubles up through the button, who played his hand fucking egregiously. The button had pocket aces. He ended up going six ways to a flop in a single raised hand and then went broke on a board where people can have sets and two pairs, etc., etc. And it is so frustrating to me that I didn't get to see the turn here. I mean, unfucking believable. If this guy just three bets his hand like he should have preflop, the small blind probably has to fold his pocket sevens. Like, cold calling three bets from the small blind is not the way to go. Would this guy have folded? I mean, I'm sure it depends on sizing, etc. But he absolutely could have and probably should have. Like, I make it 25, the button makes it 100. You're supposed to fold pocket sevens in the small blind. Then I'm going to defend with my suited one gapper because I never met a suited one gapper that I didn't defend to a three bet. And then we're going to just end up getting all the money in on this flop. And I'm going to be the one doubling up through this jamook with pocket aces. Instead, he slow plays it like a fucking numbskull and gets me middled to where I have to fold my hand, and he loses all his chips to somebody else who's not me. So at this point, I am uber frustrated. There's now been two hands that I would have won if people had played their hand any sort of normally. I could be having a huge monster smash session, and instead I am just about even. So at this point, I do what I was preaching in the introduction, and I go out and take a break. Man, I go across the street, I get some sushi, I chill out for a little bit, take a walk around the casino, and just let the kind of tilt wash over me, you know, feel my feelings, and come back refreshed, got some fresh air, got some good food, and come back ready to play some motherfucking cards. And that leads us, my friends, to the mother of all frustrating hands, hand three. Stay tuned for that. All right, here's hand three. This hand is several hours after the first two. The first two were fairly early in the session, like the first 2 hours. This is like hour six or seven, something like that. Nice long session. I've moved to a different table. So I've moved from the feeder game to the main game, and I am doing great at the main game. Like I said, I took a break, got my head straight. Everything's good. I am playing extremely well. I'm probably up to like 2K at this point, so I'm up like $1,000, even though it could be a lot more. If things had gone different in those previous hands, I'm feeling good. Things are going well for me, and I am really dialed in. So then this hand happens. There's a $10 straddle. The game was pretty much fully straddled at this point, and I'm in middle position with black pocket kings. Love to see it. I open to $35. And now there's a gentleman on the button. We'll call him Javi. And Javi is a huge action player who kind of hates me at this point. I have been beating on Javi's ass all night. I've been bluffing him. I've been putting in big bets. He's had to fold. And, you know, it's really the kind of strategy I take against these loose, passive, kind of actiony players. But they're only actiony when they, like, overvalue their hands. Like, he's not really bluff heavy per se. He just puts in a lot of chips light, and I've been taking a lot of pots from him in spots where I know he's just too wide. So he's been like openly talking about how like, oh, you never have it. You have to be bluffing. Like, I'm going to get you, you know, this sort of stuff. And it's like, all right, bro, like come at me. And at this point I'm pretty deep with Javi. I have like 2K. He's got like 1800. So we're 1800 effective with Javi. And he's on the button, and he three bets to $120. Now, even though I know that Javi's targeting me, this move signifies a pretty strong hand from Javi, because the way that he targets players, and especially the way he's been targeting me, is by calling my raises a lot. Like, he is not re-raising. He's just calling with a lot of hands and hoping to hit a big one and hoping to stack me or catch me bluffing or whatever. And that's how he thinks he's going to win. So when he three bets to 120, like I said, I'm pretty sure that he's got a strong hand. He's been waiting to get a strong hand against me, and now he's got one. So he's going. Now the small blind, a gentleman we'll call Uncle, the small blind flats. He cold calls the 120 from the small blind. And there is a dynamic between Uncle, the small blind, and Javi on the button. Earlier, Uncle had tried to bluff Javi, bet like 400 on the river. Javi had called him with like third pair, and Uncle showed down ace high, and Javi took this big pot from him. And then Javi like kind of got in his face. You know, Javi started talking shit to him like, oh, Uncle, you can't bluff me, man. You can't bluff me. That's what you get, you know? And he's just like, and he totally steamed Uncle the fuck up. So when Uncle cold calls this 120, I know that he's targeting Javi. So we have this weird dynamic where Javi's targeting me and Uncle's targeting Javi. And Uncle has probably like 1250 in front of him. So Uncle in the small blind has 1250. He's targeting Javi on the button, who's got 1800, and Javi's targeting me. And I cover both of these cuck muffins. So I open 35 with pocket kings, Javi on the button, three bets to 120, and Uncle in the small blind cold calls the 120. Obviously, I'm putting in a four bet here. And the only question is sizing. And my feel is, like I said, that Javi's got a really good hand and he thinks I'm bluffing all the time. He's not folding. He is not folding. So I can go larger than I usually would. Now, I would love to get heads up with Javi, but, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world to play this hand three ways either. When you go three ways, you're going to lose the pot more often, but there's also going to be more money in the pot for you to win when you do win. So I consider my sizing and my normal three bet size in this situation. He made it 120. I would make it 300-ish. But in this spot, I decide to go larger. Like I said, I don't think Javi's folding. And I consider going either 400 or 500. I feel like I can even go 500 and get called. But in the end, I decide to go down a little bit from that just because even though I don't think Javi's folding, I don't want to give him a reason to do it. And maybe that's wrong. I don't know. Like, I think I could have gone larger, but I end up going 400. Javi quickly makes the call, which makes me feel pretty confident he doesn't have pocket aces. Certainly, I was a little afraid that he would. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to get all the money in, but when he quickly calls and doesn't even consider getting it all in, I'm like, okay, he does not have pocket aces. He's probably got something like ace king or a hand like pocket queens, pocket jacks, maybe pocket tens, something like that. Maybe ace queen suited, but you know, not pocket aces. So he calls the 400 and Uncle thinks for quite a while. And now Uncle also calls the 400. And I'm like, okay, Uncle's definitely in here with a hand that he shouldn't be in here with. But he's going after Javi, so let's go. We are playing a pot. There is 1,200 in the pot, and it comes 966 with two diamonds. I have black pocket kings. Everyone's put in 400 pre, so Uncle in the small blind has about 850 left, and Javi on the button has about 1,400. So when Uncle checks to me, I feel like I can either jam or I can bet small. And I actually think jamming is probably good here because I just have about a pot size bet with both of them. But again, I just didn't want to give Javi the chance to fold, especially if he had like ace king or something. I wanted to put in a bet small enough to where he may feel compelled to continue. So I bet 450 into 1200. Javi quickly jams all in for 1400. Love to see that. And now Uncle in the small blind quickly calls all in, and it's back to me. 966 with two diamonds. And certainly while I'm afraid somebody could have a six, particularly Uncle in the small blind, like something like ace six suited or six seven suited, something like that, maybe flop top boat of nines. At the end of the day, this pot is just way too big to fold pocket kings in, so I don't even think about it that long. I just call. And this pot is now massive. There is $5,000 in the middle. 1,000 big blinds. I guess we're playing a straddled pot, so 500 big blinds, but it is a massive pot. You do not see 5K pots at 2-5 very often, you know, in like 1K cap games, right? So the turn in the river come two black aces. It's 966 with two diamonds. It comes ace, ace. And I'm like, shit, I hope somebody doesn't have an ace. But unfortunately, somebody does. Our friend Uncle in the small blind, who cold called the 120 and then called again when I four bet to $400, he shows ace seven of diamonds. So he flopped the nut flush draw and then hit running aces. Obviously, he only needed one of them. Javi shows his hand and he's got pocket queens. So he had exactly the type of hand that I thought he had. And if Uncle wasn't in this pot, I would have ripped and doubled through Javi. It was the perfect setup spot. Javi was just dying to get involved in a pot with me. And I had him dead to fucking rights. But because he talked shit to Uncle earlier in the session and tilted Uncle, and then Uncle started targeting him, Uncle ended up playing this pot out of position against two players in a 4-bet pot with ace 7 suited for a fucking third of his stack and ended up winning a massive, massive pot. Now, he won the main pot, which was about 3.8K, so I won about 550-ish, I think, off of Javi. So I ended up losing about $700 in this hand. But even so, this was an opportunity to win a massive fucking pot. Like, I'm up $1,000 at this point. If Uncle's not tilted at Javi and just stays out of this pot, I double through Javi and I'm winning like close to $3,000 in this session. Smash session at 2-5. Or even if Uncle did get involved and I ended up winning this pot, I had about 50% equity, right? So I wasn't like some massive favorite against both of them once we got all in. But still, half the time, I win a $5,000 pot. And I'm having one of my biggest sessions I've ever won at 2-5, like more than 4K. It was all there right in front of me. And instead, because one guy was tilted at another guy and ended up putting a third of his stack in with ace 7 suited in a 4-bet pot, I ended up getting screwed out of a massive, massive stack of chips and a lot of money. And that fucking sucks. And that essentially was my session. Just frustration abound. This was a session where, if things had not been really wonky and things had kind of gone my way, I mean, I could have won like $5,000 or $6,000, maybe more, something like that. I mean, just like, it's pretty hard for everything to go your way during a session, but some really fucking wonky shit, people just being whacked out of their fucking skulls, had to happen for me not to have a massive night. And instead of doing that, I drove home frustrated and tilted and came home and recorded a podcast for you guys. I hope you like it. Anyways, I hope that this pod was not too woe is me. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Like I said, it's cathartic for me, but it's also one of those things where I just like to let it out and let you guys know that with all the frustration that happens to you in poker and just in life in general, you're not the only ones. It happens to all of us. So thank you so much, you guys, for tuning in. I appreciate you. And until next time, my friends, play good and run pure.